Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone, and we are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir, here with Maria Wilson Duff, co-hosting. Maria, how's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Excellent. And I'm realizing here I've got to make another intro so I can have you and Sherry on there, your name on there. So I got to work on that. We got to update some stuff because you are now officially one of the co-hosts.
There's three of us.
Three of us, yeah. Well, that way we'll always have something to talk about. You know, you got three people.
Oh, God, yeah. There's plenty to talk about. There's always plenty of projects, so I guess you could add that to your list now. New intro for the show.
I know. It's so much is going on with life. It's very difficult and challenging, but, you know, I'll add it to my list and we'll get her done. What have you been up to the last week?
Well, this last week I've done the mundane task of going to my 9-to-5 job and coming home, and it's winter time and I can't go outside and ground after work anymore. It's kind of depressing.
What kind of temperatures are we looking at where you're at?
Well, tomorrow it will be 50-something degrees, and then Tuesday the high is going to be 4. And
oh, wow.
Wednesday the high is going to be about that, and the wind chills are going to get down pretty low. So Kentucky just kind of goes up and down up until about June, and then we burn up until October. So
that
it's
is
a rough
chilly.
Ride.
Yeah,
yes.
No doubt. That's a little too cold to start talking about 4 degrees. But, nothing new going on with me. I was talking to Eric Mitchell, our guest this evening, before the show started, and was talking, we're telling him that I went on a hike today. That was kind of unusual for me because usually I'm a antisocial basement dweller. But I got out there in nature. It was really cool, you know, being out in the forest, and it was foggy, so I got some pretty cool pictures. And however, I did not see anything paranormal. I did not run into Sasquatch out there.
Oh, well, this is a good thing. I had
a bobcat
to walk across my front yard this afternoon, so that was pretty interesting.
If I saw a bobcat, I'd probably try and pet it.
Yeah, I really wanted to go outside and yell, "Here, kitty, kitty," but I just don't think that'll work.
No, not. I don't know how aggressive they are. And here I am scrambling, trying to find a sound effect for a cat to fit in at the perfect moment. And where is it?
It was.
Oh, wait, here it is. Let's go back in time a little bit. Yeah, if I saw a bobcat, I'd probably try and pet it. Okay.
You
Sorry.
Need to add the scream from the afterwards, from where it brings blood after it scratches you. We need to get an audio of you screaming there.
Okay, I do have that. Let's try this again. If I saw a bobcat, I would try and pet it.
Like cat's eyes.
Oh.
As Jim Brown.
Well, let me try this again. If I saw a bobcat, I would try and pet it. And I'm not exactly, you know, and they're probably not friendly, so it would scratch and bite me, and I'd probably go like this. That's the closest thing
Chewbacca.
I have Chewbacca.
Perfect.
I'm ridiculous.
Oh, this is too much fun.
No kidding. So we have a great returning guest tonight, Eric Mitchell, and we'll go ahead and bring him on right now.
Wonderful.
Eric.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Pretty good. We're just goofing off, you know, as usual.
Yeah, got to hear some of that. It's great.
That's what we need to do. We need to have each guest send us their own sound effect that they would like to have. Eric, what sound effect would yours be?
Oh, I'm quite fond of fart sound effects.
Those
are always funny. You don't have that. Okay, you're gonna have to look for the.
I could do it live.
I think it. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. Well, you've got to find the technical term of acapella fart. If you find that on YouTube, you will not sleep tonight. You will have abs when you wake up tomorrow morning. It is stunningly hilarious. This man actually flatulated to the point where it matched an acapella orchestra, and he added music to it. And if I had that kind of spare time, I probably would run for president.
I have heard that. It's pretty funny. And I'm on my list of things to do is redo an intro and stuff like that. And I will make sure to download some fart sound effects for future.
Definitely. If you're a basement dweller, you definitely have that capability. So guys, what do we want to do for the show tonight for the listeners? For me, it just feels like hanging out with old friends. But, you know, there's people that are tuned in that maybe want to go a direction. And, my God, I've grown up quite a bit throughout the years and have a lot of new information. So.
Yeah, we can just
really
wing it. We can just talk about whatever.
You really have changed over the years since the first time I met Eric. He was a little bit redneck, kind of had the southern twang about like I do. And didn't know he had it. Over the years, he has smoothed it out, and he sounds like somebody that came out of Washington.
Oh, no, not Washington. I still drink my beer, pissed off the porch, chase turtles. I'm redneck at heart all the way. Man, I'm glad to be back home in Arkansas. I really am. It's been a long ride. But, you know, bringing that up, I remember the reason that, you know, I changed that way, you know, the way that I speak. And if I can reiterate in the middle of a burp, I'll say that my son wanted me to go to a pep rally. And I've gone to hundreds of pep rallies with his brothers and sisters and everything like that. It was totally normal to me. But it was during a time where the paranormal was really, really very disruptive in my life. It was really changing things where I saw things differently for the first time in my life. You know, what we're supposed to do is we're born, we're graded in school, we're supposed to be good regurgitators, we're supposed to be this, we're supposed to be that. So our indoctrination really leads the way. And, for the first time, I was starting to see outside of that indoctrination, the social stigma of what we're supposed to be, what we're told we're supposed to be, work, buy, consume, die type of people. And so I go to the pep rally, and I see these people with the flags, with the goats on it. I see these young women, not even quite women yet, with painted faces, short skirts, throwing their legs in the air toward a crowd that's saying, fight, 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 win, win, win. And I started thinking about the implications of these children being brought up hating every town around them over a football game, and how this separation is. And I thought about accents. I thought about predominant religions. I thought about everything that separates us as a people. And I started thinking about the United States. But when I pictured it in my mind, it was the divided states of America, where there are lines everywhere and different names for everything. And just standing there where time stood still, all of this was going on, you know, inside my head. And it was just incredible how I thought, wow, you know, these accents are wrong. These implications are wrong to put toward other people, to judge other people, to police other people with their ideas and their dreams and who they want to be. I'm part of the police force that polices my neighbors not to be what they want to be in their life. And that's why I see so many miserable people in the world. So it was a bit of an epiphany. But there were so many throughout time. You know, I thought, wow, man, I got to get up. I got to get coffee. I got to get the kids to school. I got to gas up the car. Oh, my God, I got to pay the electric bill today. And I'm like, why am I harassing myself? Inside my own head, this is my own voice inside my own head saying, I gotta, you know, and, you know, I gotta shut that thing up. And I did. And, you know, it's been pretty quiet and tranquil up there since then. I've been able to think, I've been able to function without, this, what I call the, I got a monster in my head where I have to torment my own thoughts instead of allow thoughts to happen and allow, myself to, look at things objectively. And so yeah, Maria, there's been a huge change with myself, but I still enjoy my sense of humor first and foremost, because I, you know, it gets you by in life. But when I came back home 5 years later after what happened to me, all my redneck buddies are like, you talk so fast and I can't understand half the shit you gotta say. You know, and I'm like, but it's still me. And they're like, what happened to you, man? You know, they put a probe in your butt, you know, and you hear all this kinds of stuff. But, but yeah, I mean.
That leads to farts.
It leads to the farts, yeah. But, you know, it's incredible because, you know, you can see this kind of thing in a movie, but this is literally my life, literally my life. And Maria, I think you know that. You know, I would have to be one hell of an actor, an unpaid actor on top of that, try to hoax my life. But it's been a hell of a trip. It's been a hell of a run. And, I went from, I think, 110 IQ to 150 in about 4 years without any education whatsoever. None. Just the realization of reality itself. Knocking on my doorstep, and that was enough.
And now, for the benefit of the listeners that may have not heard you the last time you were on, can you give us a little bio? We're kind of touching that a little bit about yourself.
Well, my bio is a long story, simple but complicated. I had a pretty hard life growing up, moved around quite a bit. Gosh, you know, and I'd have to write a lot. But, you know, I was a single father. That's all I cared about. And when you're a single parent, that is all you care about. You work your ass off. You make sure you pay the bills and you make sure your kids get the proper attention and education that they deserve. And I was very poor and just trying to make it by week by week, if not day by day. Paranormal experiences started to happen. And, of course, the quote-unquote rational mind became a very big part of my life where I would try to explain everything away the best I could to the point where it consumed me. You know, I could not rationally explain everything that was going on. These objects started to show up, not in the sky, but literally in my yard, on my street, where my neighbors can see it, where the military choppers were showing up, spotlighting everybody. Literally the beginning of this will take the whole show. You know, it'll just take it all away. But I want to go past that. We did go through a lot of things that people don't want to accept. And I know that because I didn't want to accept it. I didn't want it, you know, to be true. I'm a student of psychology, so what I wanted to do was say, okay, these are delusions. I've been under a lot of pressure lately, medication, blah, blah, blah. I'll get through this. But at the same time, I've got evidence on my phone. I'm filming these things. There are you know, police officers getting called out there saying, hell no, I'm not doing a report on this, I'll lose my job. People in droves moving away until I was the last person on the street that lived there. It became really, really, really harsh of a truth really, really fast. I mean, it was just too fast for me to fathom. And I still had to hold myself together. I still had to take care of the kids. I still had to do my job. And it was really hard because I was falling apart. This should not ever be a reality to anyone, ever. It just shouldn't. It shouldn't. Because this type of thing, you know, it's just outside of what we know our entire lives. It's outside of everything. You know, ah, ghost, you're stupid. If you believe in UFOs, you're stupid. You're a crazy person. You need to be locked up. That's my thought process on every damn bit of it. That's the way I brought up. That was the pseudoscience that, you know, is forced into our minds from day one. But that's not the truth. The truth is the paranormal exists in some cases more than what we do, because of how low we hold our thought processes and how low we hold our eyes. And you can take science, for example. Nothing advances in science for America or any other country until you get some wacko coming in here going, hey, I got a crazy idea. And that's the only time science changes. And most of the time that happens after this wacko dies and their paperwork and their formulas and everything get to credit someone else. So, you know, people lose their PhDs if they talk about this kind of thing. Every PhD I've ever worked with when it comes to the paranormal subject, they're already retired. They're not in jeopardy of losing their precious paperwork that says, hey, I regurgitated information for 20,000 hours. But, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, Jason, if you and I are Egyptologists, we go through school, we get our PhD. When we write our dissertation, we have to say that the King Tutankhamun's tomb is definitely the pyramids. Then we're right. We get our piece of paper and we win. But if we say, wait, this thing is an apparatus that shows mathematical characteristics, its placement on planet Earth is very, very, very unnerving. There's more about this. Well, Jason, you and I, McDonald's, we're going to be flipping burgers, minimum wage, slipping yep. on a greasy floor all day, handing up fries, because that piece of paper is gone and so is your entire regurgitation career, which is really tough. So it really hinders science to do this. The paranormal does exist in many, many different forms. And unfortunately, Jason and Maria, in many, many different perceptions, because everyone that has these experience situations, we all have a different perception. I remember Travis Walton, we were having a conversation one time. He said, you know, Eric, you're very educated. How many, religions are there? You know, and I said, well, about 4,200, as far as we know human history. But if you really, really, really want to be truthful about it, there's over 7 billion religions, because every perception holds a different standpoint and when it comes to the subject. And that's, I think that's very important to understand.
Well, you speak of Travis Walton, and you know, of course, his story had a huge movie made about his story, which Hollywood tends to know what to do to bring in the big bucks for this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. I love that movie too, but it's like you look at it and people don't understand the horror. They have to visualize what goes on in your head. And because people can't see inside of your mind, they have to make it up to make it look good. To make the money. They can't show the hell that you go through from the time the first incident happens to you until, I mean, they just can't show everything that goes on in your brain. And I
don't think anybody
can ever understand that.
No, there's no way. And you, right there, Maria, you brought up two major points. I don't know if you want to go further, but one of which I remember, you know, or you probably remember Maria being a young lady, and you watched Prince Eric and on television, and this prince and this maiden over and over again, story after story, would have an adventure, fall in love, happily ever after. He's rich. She doesn't have to worry about paying the phone bill. There goes the sunset. And young women really take to this as reality because that's their concept. That's the only concept they have to grasp a relationship with a little boy. And by sixth, seventh grade, they're completely scorned from the entertainment value that they take into their mind and the actual reality of what things are. So whereas we take in entertainment, I think everyone's missing the boat when it comes to the paranormal because it's very different. The horrifying things that can happen should never be discounted. PTSD is very common. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, it's all very, very common. The isolation from your family, the isolation from your wife, the isolation from your husband, neglect for the children, playing baseball and just doing average things. You know, these people just clam up. And I'm not saying that because I read a book. Most people don't know 99% of what I do is I take in from various organizations, redliners, trauma people, people that have skipped through life with a big smile on their face and all of a sudden, just like me, it's there, you know, and they don't know what to do about it. And the immediate reaction is suicide. So various organizations like, you know, Starborn Support, the Free Organization, organizations all over the world say, if somebody's talking about suicide, contact Eric. And I think you guys know I don't have a website. I don't advertise. I don't do most radio shows that contact me. I don't want to talk to them. You know, I don't even talk on stage anymore because it's an entertainment thing. You know, people lean forward and elbow their friend going, watch Eric, this is my favorite part. Look, that's not why I was talking. That's not why I was up there in the first place. If you're going to sit there and grin over the hell that I've been through, then I don't belong there. If you want my autograph, I don't belong there. Where I belong is helping these people out. And Maria, Jason, I got to tell you, it's freaky. Time and time again, new client after new client, the shaky voice, the things that you go through, it's literally dealing with the same people with a different perception of what's going on with them, but it's the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, I looked at people like John Mack, I look at people like Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, and I go, wow, you know, this was going on such a long time ago and it died. But, the truth of the matter is ufology died because people aren't being studied anymore. It's a big facade of, and I'm not taking a stab, which I would really clear my throat, really like to take a stab at a few people in mainstream ufology. They are studying this, that, and the other, but they will not touch experiencers. And that's where the real meat and potatoes is. I mean, that's where the real body is. UFOs come here to study three things, and that's directly from the Pentagon, not from my mouth, directly from the Pentagon. And that is earthquakes and earth-shattering phenomena, nuclear weapons, and certain bloodlines in human beings. That's the only three things. So if you've got mainstream ufology, writing books and doing documentaries and standing on stage and knowing about all these things, meanwhile, while experiencers are contacting them in private and they say, shut up, you're crazy, it causes a huge, huge fury when it comes to me because they can shut people up, but it's just going to make me a hell of a lot louder and a lot more mad because I don't work with the experiencer themselves. Particularly, I talk to their whole families. I talk to their moms, their dads, everybody that is involved in these things, and the family, whole family unit, just torn apart, destroyed, entire families, and day after day, where people, you know, 40-hour-a-week jobs, I'm doing 1,000 hours a year working with people that they don't want to go public. They don't want to be important. They don't want to do radio shows. Heck, I don't want to do radio shows, but if nobody talks, then nobody's out there to listen. And it infuriates me. You know, I just spent 4 hours today talking to a guy that is suffering, and he has no idea what the hell is going on. And he is throwing things out that you can't find on YouTube, you can't find in books, you can't find anywhere unless you are the quintessential experiencer, and the man's suffering. And, you know, just to reach out to him, advocate him for 20 minutes, and what they say is, thank you so much, I thought I was going crazy. Which most of them think that. We all want to think that. We're going crazy and this really isn't happening. But it is happening. And maybe 2% of these people have schizophrenia or serious mental problems, in which I don't mind helping them out at all, finding a professional. With ease, of course. You've got to do it very, very carefully.
Yeah.
But it becomes something over and over and over again that you recognize right off the bat. You know, your first day on the job, you know, working at you know, Walmart or cooking fries at a place, you know, you're going to screw up. You're not going to be good at it. And I wasn't good at it. But over time I learned through my own experiences, through my own heart and what I know to be true and the very particular suffering that goes on, you can recognize it right off the bat and know where a person's at. And it just, wow, it gets difficult. It drains you. It's hard. But helping these people is a better purpose than becoming a auto mechanic or a, you know, somebody that shingles roofs or anything like that, because you get to see families change. You know, I remember the first time a 5-year-old little girl dialed my phone number and says, "Is this Mr. Eric?" And I said, "Yes, it is, sweetheart." And she goes, "Thank you for helping my mommy and daddy, because they don't yell at each other anymore." And I just pulled the phone away from my ear, and I just streamed. It was a waterfall coming from my face because, you know, the wife thought the husband was crazy. And she finally realized that something was really going on. And, well, don't let me blab too much, guys. It's your show. Aim me in the right direction.
No, it's interesting.
Well,
yeah,
I don't think people realize the hell that you went through. I mean, it took you, what, 3 to 4 years before you found your support group, somebody to even help you?
Well, Bear helped me. I mean, I wouldn't, my investigator, I would have been dead right out of the gate. I contemplated suicide. I bought a gun to do so. I slept with the said gun under my pillow because if I ever had the balls to do it, I was going to do it. However, being a single father, I couldn't bring myself to do that. They needed me. They had nobody. They had no family. It was just me and them. So, and they were going through these changes too, but it's very different for younger folks that aren't indoctrinated into a reality that we can't resist anymore. So it's easier for kids, but it's still very hard. But yeah, my stepfather was murdered when I was 9 years old. And I saw them shoot a hole through his chest, and I watched him suffocate on his own blood and die. As a grown man going through what I've gone through, that situation there is almost minute. There's no way to explain the hell and the horror. Now, yeah, accepting the fact is terrible. You can't. It's hard. You push it away. It's like, nah, that's not true. It's something that's in movies, blah, blah, blah. And you fight it and you fight it and you fight it and you fight it until it's right there in front of your face. And one day you have to accept it. But that acceptance comes with a huge, huge library behind it. It's not accepting that the paranormal exists. It's accepting the fact that you have your entire life and did nothing about it. Reality itself changes. Everything that you know about perception, everything that you know about existence, everything that makes your ego feel comfortable about taking the next breath is 100% bullshit. And when it happens to you overnight, it is beyond comprehension. By any belief, by any. There is no tragic situation that could even come close to it. And not only am I a victim of that, but I am an advocate for people that it happens to all over the world. It's not just America. You know, I've had clients deep in Africa that had just gained access to a phone. They've never seen a TV in their life, and they're telling me the same damn things that everybody else tells me. Of course, with different religious backgrounds and everything like that. But if you look at the person and the symptoms that they're going through and the feelings, the spirituality, and all these things that they're going through, you go, wow, they all match. Every damn one of them could be related. They just all match. And I don't want to put out the secrets out there because I don't want people writing notes. But if you do it on a daily basis, it is so incredibly uncanny. But not me just being someone of a counselor, but someone of an experiencer, I recognize it right off the bat. You know, I've met top ufologists that tell me, here's one, I really don't like to speak ill of people, but I am incredibly, and I'll repeat that, incredibly pissed off about a top ufologist recently. I've talked to them about the consciousness aspect back in 2013. I've talked to this person about leaving the nuts and bolts alone. I've talked to them about, you know, leading them the right direction. If you're going to be doing this for 30 years, let me step in and help you a little bit because you're way off par. And a lot of these people are talking about the consciousness aspect these days. And the reason why is because I have been very, very busy. These people are hard to par. They're hard to push. You know, they're stuck on their particular narrative, and any other narrative doesn't matter. This is wrong, and this is not science, and this is not helping anybody. What I've been trying to push the truth. And this person asked me out of the blue, have you ever been threatened because of what you do? And I said, well, yes, I've been threatened. I can give you names. That's the last time this person talked to me. After giving this person a lot of information, and turning their career in the right direction and getting a lot of attention, this person gets on air and says, anyone that says they've been threatened in this business is full of it, and they're making it up because it doesn't happen. If this person was a ufologist for 30 years and never been threatened, then no one else has been threatened either. And I thought, my God, the implications of that. Jason, I can ask you right now. I can say, Jason, if you woke up in the middle of the night, you had lights beaming into your house, didn't know what was going on, saw scary creatures, you blacked out, you woke up with scars all over your body and blood all over your bed, how confident would you be contacting this person I'm talking about and say, hey, here's the truth. This is what's going on. And you can't be confident. These people are very timid. They're lawyers. They have, you know, jobs of this incredible nature. They're going to lose all credibility about doing what they do. So the minute you get shut down, it's over for you. You will not be advocated. You will not have a nerve to talk about it again. And you'll go in your shell, and you'll live that way for the rest of your life. And that will destroy
absolutely.
Your family, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your wife. You know, it's the same syndrome
yeah.
that you would get from Vietnam. You come home, all you want to do is drink. Nobody understands you. You isolate yourself. And this is PTSD. And so over and over and over again, I get to hear these names. Well, I contacted so-and-so, and they made me feel really bad about myself, and I'll never talk about it again. And I'm going, and this is not two people. This is many, many, many people all over
maybe
the world.
Maybe they're working for the government to help silence the truth.
You know, my brain kind of goes that way sometimes. And just,
kinda
you know, pure,
yeah,
it's just pure anger. But no story gets out. Travis Walton is the only experiencer allowed in mainstream ufology. And he's not a true experiencer. He had one experience. And experiencers, generally, their whole life, they go through these. And, you know, I just think it's really sad that this is what we have. for the entire truth. Now, it's not really what we have. We have the government. We have the CIA. We have, oh, my God, so many organizations all over the world that they don't get out and try to be popular. You know, it's the people with the boots on the ground behind the scenes that really know what's going on. But they don't go public and talk about everything. They're too busy helping other people out.
I'm sure the government, you know, does whatever it does. I'm sure they spread a lot of disinformation and everything else to kind of convolute the facts and all that. I would be willing to bet that people having these UFO experiences, I would be willing to bet that there's a lot more out there than we understand. But like you're saying, they probably just don't talk about it because they've encountered a bad experience with someone or the subject is too taboo, you know.
Well, yeah. And at the same time, a lot of people don't know that regardless of Project Blue Book, it's been a serious subject for the military, the government, and many, many other high-ranking officials for a long time, a very, very long time. And I've actually been privy to look into these kinds of things and see what's going on. Jason, there's a thing called the Phenomenology Desk. They don't call it the UFO desk. They don't call it the X-Files desk. They just call it the Phenomenology Desk because they believe that, all this stuff is related. And it literally is. If you dive deep enough into it, you're going to realize that it's all related. What they have found is just jaw-dropping. Some of them actually want to release the information. Others want to keep it secret, blah, blah, blah. This is where it becomes very, very difficult. A lot of the government, a lot of the CIA, a lot of these people want to make it public. A lot of them say, whoa, 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 whoa. If we release this lie, how many lies are we going to have to talk about in the future? So it gets pretty, pretty difficult. There is geneticists, you know, there's Kit Green. There is Richard Nolan with an N, N-O-L-A-N. Not Richard Dolan, which is a ufologist. These guys are geneticists. What they've looked at is they've done brain scans on over 100 experiencers like myself, and they have found a particular part of their brain that is incredibly active, where, well, you know, we use 10% of our brain, most of us four. It used to be 10, but it's getting worse. This part of our brain is just lighting up, and they're going, wow, you know, and they're pointing at it going, this is ability, this is empathic ability, this is somehow broadcasting a signal of electricity. And Maria, do you remember when in forensics, when Bear was putting these, you know, these machines on me, and I was setting them off like crazy? This is a thing that's coming out of the brain. It's literally broadcasting. So not only the government, and I'm not telling you this stuff because I read it in a tabloid. I mean, this is really what's going on. They call it the Antenna Project, where literally these people, like myself, have a part of their brain that's lit up that's not working in other people's brains. So they are experiencing psychic ability, they're experiencing empathic ability. Now imagine what that's like growing up thinking you're normal and people start to snarl at you because you say things that are abnormal. You say what their other people are thinking, or you repeat conversations that, you know, happen behind closed doors. People don't like that. It makes them feel very, very uncomfortable. So as a child, you kind of close up, you know, but this is man, we can go so many directions with this. But this is what we're finding in Mexico. There's a man named Sixto Paz that started doing brain scans on experiencers, and over again, this part of the brain is lighting up, this ability. Now, we've all experienced somebody staring at me. We turn around and, wow, what a coincidence, somebody's staring at me. Or we thought about a good friend we haven't talked to in a while, and all of a sudden the phone rings. It's, oh, wow, it's Bob. I was just thinking about him. These coincidences aren't coincidences. They're just not coincidences. I mean, your dog knows when you're not feeling good. Your dog knows when you're upset. Animals communicate in this way. Cats talk to cats, dogs talk to dogs. You know, this is nature. And human beings, it's not nature anymore. It's unacceptable to have these abilities because it's not quantifiable by science. Guess what else is not quantifiable by science? Love. Absolute love. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't analyze it. You can't figure out what it is, but it does seem to exist. You know, and I laugh at these scientists going, you know, your mother loves you assholes, you know, so get over it. It's real. It's true. So these things in our quote unquote sixth sense are much stronger in certain people. And that allows, puts out an invitation for things that go bump in the night, whether it be ghosts, ETs, anything paranormal, because you have that perceptive ability. Because we have five right now, we can see things, we can hear things, and now quantum physics explains that everything's a hologram, and the fact that we have these five senses keeps us from seeing reality itself. But experiencers are proven over and over, time and time again, through every experiment. They can actually find it in your DNA marker now, which, guys, get your pens handy, write it down because it's going to come out, that this is evolution. Surprisingly enough, this is why this thing's going on. And the reason why they call it the Antenna Project is because there are subatomic energies leaving this part of the brain, going somewhere and coming back like there's some kind of communication going on. And that seems to be the case in all of them.
Communicating with what? That's
yeah,
the
exactly,
question, right?
Exactly. Well, I'm, you know, if you want to go deep, we could do that, you know, and why not? Let's presume that there are people on our planets. There are people out there in space, which we're kind of finding new planets every day, so the facade is kind of over. But let's presume that this person out there has a 500 IQ, maybe a 1,000 IQ. Everybody talks about nuts and bolts and how do the UFOs work, but what about the biological tendencies of these people? And what you're looking at is not a tiny pea inside the brain that might fire a little psychic activity here and there, or empathy here and there, or anything of that matter. We're talking about a fully developed mind that has full psychic, empathic, and many other abilities. They can remote view while they're doing 20 other things. So when a human being exhumes those types of capabilities, it gets their attention. You're talking about a fully developed brain that is fully psychic, fully empathic. They know what you feel. They know what you think. They know everything right off the bat. Now that becomes contact. And the reason behind that becomes contact is the status quo is they're supposed to land on the White House lawn. They're supposed to talk to the president. This is how it's supposed to be. And to me, from what I know, it's laughable. It's laughable at this point because you have to look at the biology of what these people are. And if they feel and know and see every intention that you are, the only contact that's going to happen is the people that have the biggest hearts, take their shirt off their back for anybody, are genetically in line for that. You know, if you look at the ancient genetic symbol, you know, the snakes around the staff, what you'll see at the top every time is a pair of wings. And that's what this means. You know, that's exactly what this means. And, you know, I can say this now, and it's going to come out. You know, this is absolutely what is going on, and it's absolutely evolution. And when I talk to people on a day-to-day basis, it comes by. It's not my biased opinion. It's not what I want to believe. It wasn't the answers I was looking for, but I found them. And, you know, it goes along the lines with many, many people, Ron Pandolfi, Kit Green, all these people in the CIA that have done this work for a very, very long time have discovered, and it is a consciousness phenomenon, and that's exactly where it's all going to lead. This is where it's going to go because it's in your bloodline, and secondly, and I really, really hate to try to speculate or try to say something that isn't 100% true, but I'll tell you from every client, I'm working on my 218th client, 218. This is extensive, not talking about the thousands of phone calls, but extensive work with clients. They are all a big heart. They are all with the same demeanor of psychic intentions, very empathetic, very loving, very caring, nurturing type of people. And it doesn't stray. It's in their bloodline. It's in their DNA. It skips mom. Mom's an asshole. Dad's an asshole. Brother's an asshole. And then you get this this one person in the family line that has this ability, and that's when contact happens. They don't go looking for it. They don't believe in it. They think it's bullshit, just like me. They try to live a normal life. My latest client was 52 by the time he woke up to the idea that this was actually going on with him, because you try to hide from it all the time. You don't want to be different. You're policed by your peers. And you just try to fit in, even though you feel different, even though that something's amiss, your number one goal in life is to fit in. I mean, think about it. Your entire life has been nothing to fit in. I meet grown adults that say, oh, well, I have to have an Escalade because my neighbor has one. Let's work an extra 7 years and take a little bit out of my pension and so I can fit in with my neighbors. My lawn is not green enough because my neighbor has a better lawn. It's all about stuff, you know, and we have to buy stuff to impress people. It's all about the facade that we live in, especially here in America. But, God, I feel like I'm rambling too much, guys. Go ahead and weigh in, you know.
Oh, well, I think we're all sheep. We're all sucked into the way the world is now. And probably many people out there ignore all these little psychic events that happen. But I was wondering, has there ever been a study having to do with people's IQ and being an experiencers? Do experiencers typically have a higher or lower IQ, or has that never been done?
It's actually it's never been a study. I know I've worked with more people than most out there. I was really shocked to talk to mainstream ufologists and one say, well, I've talked to 6 people, I've talked to 8 people, and I was going, well, are you kidding me? I was really shocked. I mean, you know, it just kills me how much this isn't looked at. It's looked at by our government. It's looked at by our CIA. It's looked at by Black Ops. But the people that are on our screens telling us what supposedly is really going on, these are the people that, I hate to say it, but are genuinely clueless because they're not looking at it. But what you find is people with very, very high IQs. Every time, most of the time Rh negative with their DNA and their blood, but not all the time. You have to consider the demeanor in a person for contact, the demeanor in a person to want that type of DNA to play with in genetic experiments and stuff like that. So, you know, it looks like it becomes a thing of, we've got to make these guys not Neanderthals. They've already got nukes. It's a big problem. There's a lot of people that say we've been integrated 65 times in our DNA where scientists have no idea why it happened or how it happened. You know, supposedly in mainstream we went from monkey to what we are now, but it's very obvious to me that we've been integrated for a very long time in our demeanor, bloodline, and we are evolving because of them.
You know, it seems like a lot of the ancient civilizations that seem to have, ancient aliens, all these civilizations that have just totally disappeared, they always talk about as if those civilizations were enlightened to the fact that they could see past our normal lives. They had contact with aliens, but yet all of these civilizations have disappeared.
I don't understand
everything about that. And how do they even come to those conclusions? Is it because their engineering skills seem to be more advanced than what we would have been during that time. I don't know where they're coming to this conclusion.
No, I would say, and, you know, I'm going to aim at Jason indirectly. I'm not going to mention any names, Jason. But, you know, meditation is very important. You know, if we are actually discovering, which our government actually knows, they know this for a fact, that this part of our mind, it's in our right brain as well. So it really gets triggered in meditation. I mean, there's no come on, are you going to tell me that, you know, people sit on mountaintops and cross their legs and sit there for 12 hours for no apparent reason? There's got to be a reason, guys. Come on. You know, there's got to be a reason. And experiencers are having these meditative experiences with no knowledge of meditation. They're having these psychic experiences with no knowledge of spiritual self or what spiritual self is. It's coming through and they can't handle it. They don't know what it is. They just literally don't know what it is. So a spiritual path is one to take, but you can't let it consume you because there's so many avenues to explore when it comes to the mind, when it comes to perception. You know, if I can see for the first time because of technology today, I would be blown. I mean, if I can hear for the first time today over an apparatus that can be put over my ear, my mind would be blown. And let me tell you guys, my mind has been blown because this perceptionality is something that can destroy you in so many different ways. Number one, you're surrounded by people that don't understand. You can definitely meet people that understand, but there's divide and conquer processes involved with that where people don't want to talk to you. They will have their own ideas and everybody's going to squabble. That's a man-made idea, divide and conquer. But this new perception is the ability to not contact the stars, but first and foremost, contact yourself.
That seems to make sense.
You were talking about people that are experiencers and having this new type of, well, not new, that they get this kind of psychic ability or empathic or whatever. What about people that could be experiencers that kind of have these experiences with their psyche but don't remember being abducted or having an alien visitation?
That's the most common of all. Absolutely. The most common of all. And it's a splinter in your mind. You always feel different. You always feel awkward. You always feel a certain way. And like I said, my latest client, he's 52 years old. He's starting to realize. I sat down on the speakerphone today talking to his mom. You know, she just turned 81 years old. And she's going through his childhood saying, oh, my God, yeah, this happened, and that makes sense. You know, his wife's along with it. So, yeah, most of us. According to the Roper poll, there are, I think, 6,000 experiencers in America. Now, I didn't take the Roper poll. You guys didn't. Very few people knew about it that took it. And then they reduced their numbers down to 2% just to please Project Blue Book and all the scientists that were scrutinizing against it. When in reality, if you inflated a little bit more toward reality and not please the scientists, you're looking at 30 million Americans that are abductees and contactees across America alone. That's enough to throw a presidential election. Which coincidentally, I've been contacted by people that were running for presidency wanting to know these particular numbers. And they are high, guys. This is not six people in America having experiences. This is a epidemic that cannot be talked about because of scrutiny and policing by your peers. But they do. I mean, I've gotten doctors, judges, lawyers, you know, calling me out of confidence going, I know this sounds nuts. Please don't tell anyone, but this thing is happening
yeah,
to me and I don't understand.
Please don't tell anyone.
Exactly. But it follows as this, you know, they're having download experiences. They're having, you know, every single one of them. It's like, you know, millions of people are in a club and they all decide to tell Eric, you know. But it's the commonalities are incontrovertible. They just literally are. And I've always been a huge skeptic. And today I stay that way. I can't have biased opinions. But when you're talking to the same person, the same personality, and it's a different face, a different family, you know, but it's all the same crisis. It's all the same problems. And advocation is it's so simple. It's so small to advocate and talk to someone that is going through this. I understand it very well. And the fact that they identify the fact that I understand it very well, the advocation, one phone call, it changes their family unit. It changes their career. It changes their life because they have a certain sense of freedom for the first time in their life. And something as simple as that can change the world for 30 million people. And that's why I spend every waking moment, and I don't sleep very much at all, and I do my best to help these people out. And no, I don't get paid for it. You know, I do it because it has to be done. It's a passion of mine, and it's never been a hobby. Paranormal stuff has always been a crazy thing to me. It's not supposed to exist, but in these last many years, I have definitely been educated by it.
So if somebody's experiencing something, and which I assume the majority of them don't want, or if not all of them, you know, they don't want the trauma of having experiences, is there anything you can do to stop it? I mean, I wouldn't think so, but like,
No.
I mean, you're stuck with it.
No, Jason, according to the data that I've given you, you can't stop evolution. There is a part of your mind that is operating that many people don't have. And what we do is ignore it, call it taboo, explain it away, and do everything we can to stay away from it. And that kind of, that puts people in a very, very awkward position when it comes to everyday society. And it splits your life into a duality where you are the quintessential experiencer, but you have to operate everyday life as if everything's normal. And these people are on the biased opinion. They sweep it under the rug. They hide it the best they can. Two generations ago, you weren't allowed to talk about it. There wouldn't be radio stations like this. There wouldn't be conversations like this. But things are evolving to the point where it's getting more open. People are waking up. The Pentagon is, you know, outright admitting to people that they have been chasing these objects with no luck. So there's a lot of things coming out. And, you know, what I've said tonight, a lot of it you may not have read in the papers or saw on television, but the drive a person like myself has to find the truth is relentless, and I will not stop until I get to the bottom of what I need to. And I've talked to CIA officials. I've talked to, you know, Canada's Ministry of Defense. I've talked to a lot of people, and I will find out what disrupted my life the way it did. And I won't stop until it's done.
Well, we applaud you for, you know, putting yourself out there and trying to get some answers. And people just like, you know, a lot of people believe that ignorance is bliss. Personally, I'd like to know what's going on out there, whether it's good or bad. But I don't know if that'll ever happen in my lifetime.
I'd like to go back to ignorance, man.
Really?
I mean, it's impossible. It's like, put my body back in the matrix, Jason. Please, put my body back.
No. I kind of like this, Eric.
Well, I'm learning. You know, we took a trip out when we moved back here. Nikki and I drove out to Milk Lane. She wanted to see the street where all this began. And as soon as I had a lot of feelings just turning down familiar roads after all that time of traveling and talking to people. And the first thing that I saw in my mind's eye was this simple, loving, caring father getting knocked down into a driveway hammered by these vibrations and frequencies. I can almost literally see my body in the fetal position laying on the concrete of what happened to me that night. And I lost it. I bawled my eyes out because at that point I realized that I literally mourned the person that died that day. And it was me. I mean, look at your hands, look at your fingers, look at yourself in the mirror, and haven't you grown attached to yourself and who you are and who you identify about reality and what you are? And to watch that die is a mourning process. And it's really hard to explain to people, but I had to let all that go. Every reality that I religiously held on to make my ego feel comfortable so I can go to sleep at night, had to go away. It had to die. And a new person had to be born, a new realization. So I literally cried, sat there thinking about who I was and how much pain I went through, you know. And it might be like, Maria, you go to your childhood home and look around after all these years and go, wow, that little girl died and this grown woman is here. It's like that, but through tragic and terrible occurrences that, you know, created who I am today. And I can't be anything else. I didn't choose it. I miss my life. I miss simplicity. I miss yelling at the TV screen about, you know, football and politics, and none of it has any meaning. None of it has any solidity or anything in my life. You know, the only thing that matters to me is the truth, love, compassion, real humanity, the things that are being torn away from us on an everyday basis that used to make us real, and we are moving forward more and more and more on a disconnect of what a human being is supposed to be. You know, a lot of people don't even know what gender they are right now. you know.
Oh, God, that's a whole different show.
No, yeah, well, you know, it's a different show, but this is what banks, corporations, government, conspiracies, and all these things are pushing because they want a political agenda. And people need to be very, very distracted. They absolutely have to be very distracted. And it doesn't matter what it is. That's what we do. And while everyone's distracted, the truth is still going on. It doesn't matter what your perception is. The truth is still going on. And I represent that, and I try to help the people that can't deal with that type of reality, because once they wake up, there's no going back to sleep. And the implications are ever feeding. They never stop feeding you. You know, and it's not television or books. You can hide in a corner. But all of these realities will chase you down, no matter how hard you try. And it's a thing within. It really is. It's inside you. You know, people ask, hey, Eric, how many books have you read? How much time do you spend on YouTube? And it's like, you know, I've learned more from what's inside or behind my eyes than anything I could ever possibly educate myself with, just by waking up into a reality that is absolute, thousands of times more than people going, well, I have to get up and get a pink shirt today. You know, that's the most important thing I have to do with my day, is get a pink shirt, or, you know, work by, consume by type of mentality. And it seems to be a very small existence, you know. But the only thing I can find to do with mine is help people that I absolutely know the same struggle I've gone through. You know, you don't understand cancer. Everybody understands cancer. Yes, it exists. Yes, it kills you. But unless you've tasted it in your family, or even in your own body, you don't know the reality of it until it's right there in your face. And that's when it becomes important. You know, I told a friend of mine the other day, I said, you know, what if your wife had cancer and the entire world was socially conditioned to think that those people were just lunatics? They're all crazy. They don't have cancer. They're just nuts. And that's the world the experiencer lives in. Because you suffer from something, and it's a real thing, but everyone thinks, wow, it's just crazy, you know, it's just nuts. And you slowly die from it, and you know what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, hopefully we're doing our job on Paranormal Horizons to get the message out and get people to think a little bit more. But we're out of time, Eric. So I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show and sharing your experiences and knowledge with us. It's always a pleasure. We're always glad to have you.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Sweet.
Did we put Maria to sleep or?
No. I'm listening. And that tends to be how I learn, is if I just shut up and listen.
God, you know, a lot of people think, you know, Eric spends so much time not sleeping, he must be a wise man. And it's like, well, I don't look like a wise man because I don't sleep.
Well, I tell you what, you will be back on pretty soon because we need to finish this conversation.
It sounds great, and it's going to take about a year. So.
No.
All right. Well, Eric, thank you again for coming on, and we're going to wrap this up. I got to go get something to eat. I'm starving.
Yeah, Jason, you have a great night, my friend. It's great to hear from you. And Maria, you guys have a great night, and thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you very much.
Talk to you soon. Wow, you know, a lot of great knowledge there, and of course, this subject is on the top of my list of most favorite things to talk about. And
it's just amazing.
I know.
Every time we talk to him, it's more and more and more education.
I just hope, you know, my personal biological evolution is not transmitting, because the last thing I want is some hyper being out there in the galaxy to come pay me a visit. I got enough drama in my life. I don't need any sort of interdimensional or aliens.
I think it's going to happen to you eventually, but I'll kind of throw this out there. I am Rh negative, and I know there's a lot of controversy about that, so maybe we'll pick up on that next week.
Yeah, I don't think I am. I'm going to have to look into that again. I think the last time I checked, it was the only time I checked. I think it was O negative.
Well, I'm O negative as well.
Oh. See, I've always, blood bank, you know, I work in a medical laboratory, so I deal with blood and tests and this and that. And the one area of the laboratory that confuses me the most is blood bank. You know, your types and screens and all that. I've never really grasped it. So,
oh, no. I just know everybody wants O negative blood, so you better get ready to start dishing out that blood.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to donating blood. I personally, from my work, I see people several times a week that need units of blood. So I know that it saves lives, and because people need blood usually quite often, usually like GI bleeds and stuff like that. So it's a great thing to give blood. It's not something I've ever really considered. But recently I was actually thinking about that. You know, why not donate blood? Because it would just could help somebody out, and there is a demand for it, let me tell you.
Yes, well, our blood types go with everybody, but we can't accept everybody else's blood. Yes, we are definitely different.
Yeah, and it's really bad if you get the wrong blood. I was asking somebody about that the other day, about transfusion reactions, and it's like horrendous. But anyway, I guess I gotta get something to eat. I'm dying, but thank you again, Eric Mitchell, for coming on, and hopefully we can get you back on in the future. And with that, do you have anything else, Maria?
I'm good to go. It's time to go get something to eat and hit the sack.
Right on. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, same time for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And if you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. I noticed the Facebook page is popping, so there's a lot of activity on there. And
it is.
Yeah, with that. I know, it's surprising. You know, every time I open Facebook, I got all these notifications of this and that from the Paranormal Horizons page. It's crazy.
We have Twitter, too, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
I haven't told you about that, but we have a Twitter page, so check us out.
Sweet, I'll have to look into that. So with that, hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Good night.